Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's consideration is found recorded in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 10 and following, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. This is our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, being in Minnesota, this biblical text seems ready-made for this time of year, for this season, as we move out of winter into springtime. And we think about how from day to day we can have it raining one day and snowing the next, or one week doing one thing and doing the other. And as a text, it also calls for us under these images, the beauty and awesome power of God's poetic word, and then secondly, his incarnate, his written, and his preached word. As poetry, God's word is artfully written with graphic images, and while there are some people who believe that we need to have PowerPoints during sermons these days, I would like to suggest to all of you that the very power of the images themselves in Scripture evoke imagination within the mind, as cognitive scientists are clearly indicating, that are just as dramatic, in fact more dramatic, than one's attention being diverted outside of the oral word. For example, listen to this text, which reminds us of this kind of wintry theme. There are only about a couple of dozen images in the Old Testament that are about snow, but some of them are of some of the most magnificent, powerful images that you find. The writer expresses the mysterious power of the Creator this way in Psalm 147, 16 and 17. He that is God gives snow like wool. He scatters hoarfrost like ashes. He hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand his cold? I mean, those kinds of images drive home through graphic visual imagery the power of God. They are the masterful work of God, the Holy Spirit, whose artistry grabs hold of our imagination, driving home to us the truth that he is a God to be taken seriously in his creation and everywhere. He uses poetry to illustrate his power to punish sinners. And thus Jeremiah asked rhetorically, again, one of those graphic images that most of us are well familiar with, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Our God, the writer to the letter to Hebrews says, is a consuming fire. So there's a call not to be just a mere hearer of the word, but rather one who listens. In fact, in keeping with this text, we're reminded that in the Old Testament, one of the graphic preachings against the people, God's people of that day, was that there was a famine of hearing the word. The words were preached, the words were available, but people were not listening to them because of the hardness of their hearts. And so today, as always, God calls upon us to repent of our sin and to be reminded of the one to whom we must look. God's poetry, as we're seeing it here, is not merely poetry, it is God's sharp two-edged sword through whom the Holy Spirit is cutting asunder to the very parting of soul and spirit, getting down to the very narrow, into the neurological recesses of our own mind to probe who we are, to remind us of what we need. Today's imagery points imagination to the cycle of the seasons to illustrate the mystery of how God sustains life, water coming down as rain, as snow. And the word in the Hebrew is literally saturating the earth, causing it then, as the temperatures warm, to bring forth, to sprout plants, which, as the text goes on to say, bring seed to the grower and bread to the eater, starting the cycle all over again, or taking that very same seed, pounding it up and making it into bread to sustain us in our daily life. But this text hides so much more than it could say. Corn is an awesome producer of oxygen, to give one example. 6 months from now, when we are driving along a road and then we happen to look off to the left and right and see a gigantic field of corn, let us be reminded that 1 square mile of corn produces enough oxygen to supply 85,000 people that day. While the rainforests and the oceans produce much oxygen as part of the photosynthesis process, just the growing things that we have around us, they're doing more than providing food for us. They're, in fact, providing the very air that we breathe, sustaining us. But more amazing than this beauty and awesome power of God's creation to sustain our body is how this first part of the text sets up the second part, which is rather about sustaining our souls, the more important part. Setting up an argument through imagery in verse 11 to impress us with a greater truth about the beauty and the awesome power of God's saving revealed word in his incarnate Son, in the written inspired word, and in the preached word that the church has been called upon to preach. When Satan tempted Jesus, you may recall, in the wilderness, thus recalling the ancient people of God who had turned their backs on God in that same kind of wilderness, it was Satan's first ploy to divert Jesus' attention to his physical bodily needs, just as the ancient people of God and just as we are tempted to go and to look merely to our material needs. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread, Satan had said to Jesus. But Jesus, who actively kept the law on our behalf, which was part of the salvation that he was working out for us, answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And in that text, you really see elaborated both of the parts of the text, verses 10 and 11, that we have for us today. While God sends rain to earth to provide daily bread, it was the sending of his only begotten Son into the flesh that was the real bread of life. And it's not lost to us that Jesus calls himself the bread of life and the water of life, the one who helps us grow. And that revealed really then the most awesome power of God and his word in the gospel. The power of God, as Paul put it in his letter to the Romans, for the salvation of everyone who believes. And there was the food for our souls, calling upon us to believe in Jesus, the bread of life. He, God of the universe, who had taken on human flesh and who went to the cross. And just as heavenly rain nourishes and makes crops grow, producing a bountiful harvest, so even greater is the harvest guaranteed by the efficacious power of God's holy word, incarnate in his Son Jesus Christ, recorded in Holy Scripture, and preached, manifest everywhere that God's word is preached in its truth and purity and where the sacraments are administered. And this word, God has declared, will not return to him void any more than the rain that comes down causes a barren earth. As evidenced by the seed of the word that is here even today, as we have all gathered around the word, who have had faith worked within our hearts. Years ago, as a bow hunter for deer, I spent how many years trying to get a deer with a bow, and then there was that one time when I hit him It was the winter time, and I can still remember following its trail of blood through the winter snow, bright red blood against the pure white snow. This past Sunday was Sexagesima Sunday, meaning 60, and the ancient church, in observing this Sunday, was showing that it was not only caught up in the passion season that it was coming ahead, but rather by the indication of Septuagesima, Sexagesima, and Quinquagesima Sundays, those three Sundays preceding the Lenten season. They were looking forward to 70, 60, 50 days until the resurrection. And so as we follow the trail of blood, the passion and suffering of our Lord to his crucifixion through this Lenten season, let us be reminded of God's love in these marvelous poetic passages as we have here to us today, or to conclude in an earlier one that really evokes once again the image of snow in wintry Minnesota February, that is just the epitome of what Jesus was and is as the gospel is preached. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool, through the atoning work of Jesus Christ our Savior.